Now, today we have Staff Sergeant Sarah Schramborg on oboe, along with Staff Sergeant Jeremy Klenke on clarinet, David Parks on saxophone, Sergio Acosta on bassoon, and Sergeant First Class Jennifer Everhart on bass clarinet. They will play for you now, and then you'll get a chance to meet them. My pleasure to welcome and have you join me, please, in welcoming American Reed Kalash. I'm not sure this studio has ever sounded quite so nice and quite so pretty when five people come together So beautiful. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. I'm great. So great to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You spent some time in Pittsburgh. Are you based in Boston these days?
Now I'm based right outside of Washington, D.C. I play with the Army Field Band with these wonderful people. And we're based in Fort Meade, Maryland, which is about 30 minutes outside of D.C.
So I am sure some people are wondering what the Army Field Band is all about. You're asked this question lots and lots, but can you kind of explain how the program works, why it exists, and the musicians that are involved?
Yes. So we all are professional musicians. We all went to music school. We all have degrees from music schools, and there are many bands in the military. There are regular bands, and then they call them special bands. So we have four special bands in the Army that we audition to be in our specific band. And so we've all taken the audition, then we enlisted into the Army. We all went to basic training, and now we're in the Army Field Band, and we support the troops, we honor the veterans, and we go into schools to play for kids. And
that's not how long have you been part of the group?
I've been in the group for 5 years.
So you enlisted 5 years ago.
I did.
And where did you go to music school?
I went to the Eastman School of Music up in Rochester, New York.
And what an amazing thing to be able to use music as well as service.
Yes.
And service to other folks. And it's not, it's pretty remarkable, actually.
Yes, it's such an honor to be able to do what we love to do while serving our country.
Now, you must be on the road a significant amount of time, I would think.
We're on the road about 100 days a year.
Okay, that is a lot, and especially if you have a two-year-old. How
yes.
old is your daughter?
Yes, she's two.
Lucy's out there at the Children's Museum. It's a perfect environment for her today. Well, first, can you tell me what you just played?
We just played the Dvorak Serenade, the first movement. It's originally written for probably 13 winds, around 13, but our great Jeremy Klinke arranged it for us to play as a reed quintet. This is kind of an unusual group of instruments to put together, so yeah. We have had to have a lot of arranging done for us.
Yeah, they sound great. Well, let's meet everybody. And sitting next to Sarah is?
I'm Jeremy Klinke.
Ah, the aforementioned great Jeremy Klinke with
not
the
great.
Arrangement. Oh, I'll play clarinet. Jeremy, your hometown and where you went to school?
I'm originally from the suburbs of Chicago, a town called Aurora. And I also went to school at the Eastman School of Music. I went there for 3 years from 2005 to 2007. And then I won a position in the Army Field Band in January of 2008. Went to Fort Benning and then arrived at the field band later in 2008.
That audition process must really be something. Is it stressful or
it's
got to be rigorous? Can you describe the process sort of in a nutshell?
The way the Army Field Band does it is a little different from the way, say, an orchestra does it. The Army Field Band, what we do is we require all applicants to send in a recording of themselves playing roughly 15 to 20 minutes of music showing contrasting styles. And the purpose of that is to pre-screen our applicants. An orchestra would not do that. You would just send in your resume, give them an audition deposit, and then show up at the audition. We call those cattle call auditions.
Makes sense, if the
metaphor makes sense.
Sure.
So for our audition, we have our first round of our audition before the audition actually happens.
So you get a chance to screen.
We pre-screen.
So that you end up hearing candidates far more likely to succeed.
The reason we do that is because we pay for the travel and the lodging of people that come to audition for our unit. So we'll fly you to Fort Meade, the Fort Meade area, and put you up in a hotel. And then on average, on an audition day, we usually have probably 5 to 10 people that make it through the pre-screening process.
Wow. And then after being pre-screened, there probably is another hurdle to pass, I would imagine.
Yes, the military entrance and processing hurdle.
Just like any other recruit or enlisted person.
We have to make sure that they are qualified to be an enlisted soldier in the United States Army as well after we accept their recording. So sometimes we'll accept a recording, but they don't meet some requirement to join the Army, so we can't ultimately hire them, and they are not invited at that point.
Interesting. And then everybody goes through basic training.
That is correct.
How do you feel about that? I do not think I would go through basic training very well. I mean, I would find it very challenging. And I guess what I'm thinking about is, not to typecast, but you're creative, you have a lifestyle and years of study sort of living outside of the right angles of life. And basic training to me is all right angles, more or less. But you're mixed in with everybody else, right?
Yes. I personally had an unusual motivation in basic training, which is my older brother, Joel. He's a sergeant first class in the Army Field Band. We both play clarinet, and he's 3.5 years older than me. So he won a job with the Army Field Band 3.5 years before I did. And my motivation in basic training was, if he can do it, I can definitely do it. And it's difficult for a musician, especially coming from music school, going into an environment like that. It's hard, but anybody can do it.
It's nice to meet you. And before you pass the microphone on, are you excited about the Cubs? They could win tonight. Uh-oh.
I am a White Sox fan. But I appreciate the Cubs, and I hope the best for them.
Sounds fine. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
And sitting next to Jeremy, I believe we have David?
Yes.
And this is Staff Sergeant David Parks, who's playing saxophone. Your hometown and music school?
I'm from Rimrock, Arizona, which is just outside of Sedona. And I went to school at a little tiny Presbyterian college in Spokane, Washington called Whitworth College. And then I went from there to do my master's at the University of Southern Mississippi down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So I've kind of been all over.
And how did you connect with the field band? What was your motivation to apply?
Well, I'm a classical saxophonist. There are not a ton of jobs for classical saxophonists. The military bands are actually the greatest employer of musicians in the country. So you look at that and you look at, I'm a classical saxophonist, bands have saxophones. It's a great gig for a saxophonist. So I saw a flyer, I sent in the CD, flew out there and had the audition.
That is quite a statistic in terms of employment. And to extrapolate that, it means that the military is actually supporting the arts in a significant
way,
which is something we don't typically think about. Do you know roughly how many musicians? Is it thousands?
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't
across know. The branches, definitely.
Yeah, I did not. Would not have thought it was that high. So that's terrific.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Army employs everything. I mean, you think of, you know, you think you're going to go into the Army, you're going to be marching with a machine gun and a backpack, but we have computer specialists, we have photographers, you have truck drivers, cooks. I mean, literally any job that you could have in the civilian world, there's probably an Army equivalent.
Now, do you play other styles in terms of saxophone, because you don't think of saxophone as a symphonic instrument.
Correct. Well, the saxophone is not a symphonic instrument because we're not in most orchestras.
Yeah.
The reason for that is the saxophone was invented around 1850, and there's not a lot of orchestral music that's performed that was written after 1850 enough to fill a whole chair and give somebody a full-time job. So a lot of times they'll have somebody double, so when they play something more modern, then the bassoon player or clarinet player will pick up a saxophone, or they'll just sub it out and they'll hire, an adjunct player. As far as playing different styles, when we join the band, we have a jazz band, so we have the jazz specialist there, and we have the concert band. So we're the four of us that are in the concert band are primarily classical saxophone players, but we are required to play, you know, some commercial music, some pop stuff, some jazz stuff. You kind of have to be versatile on the saxophone because you're going to be called to play the what people expect to hear on a saxophone. No matter, you can't just get up on stage and say, well, I don't do that.
Yeah, that's
so you got to try, you got to learn.
That makes sense. Well, thank you and welcome. And if you're just joining us, you're hearing from American Reed Collage, which is a subset of the Army Field Band, which is currently touring the U.S. They're based in Maryland. They were in Pittsburgh for a concert at Soldiers and Sailors on Thursday night, and we have five members this morning. And you're about to meet Sergeant First Class Jennifer Everhart. Where are you from, and where did you go to school?
Well, good morning. I'm from Thomasville, North Carolina, which is a very small town directly in the middle of the state. And I went to school at Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina, did a degree in music education, and then continued on to Indiana University for my master's degree in clarinet performance.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. Now,
nice to meet you as well.
You are playing a bass clarinet.
Bass clarinet,
and
yes.
We don't often see bass clarinet.
Yes.
A lot of people probably think it's some sort of saxophone, but
they do actually. When we do concerts, a lot of people will ask, "Oh, what is that? Is that a saxophone?" But it is a clarinet. It's made of wood, and it sounds an octave lower than the B flat clarinet that Jeremy Klenke is playing in the ensemble. I love it because it's got such a nice, warm, rich sound. It's about the same register as a cello. So a lot of Sergio and I with bassoon, we have the lower end of this ensemble, and it's quite fun to play.
So. Yeah, it sounds as you blend together, it's just tremendous. Thank you,
thank you
as well for being here. And let's go to Sergio, who is playing bassoon, and Staff Sergeant Sergio Acosta. I hope I've got that correct.
That was right.
And, you know, it's so interesting to know where everybody's from, because one of the things I've always appreciated about military service is how it is one, generally, it can be just an incredible melting pot of people, where folks are from and where they went to school. How about Sergio?
Well, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when I went to school, I went just over in Madison, Wisconsin at UW. Go Badgers. I did my undergrad there in flute performance, and then I continued to get my master's in bassoon.
Excellent. Well, it's nice to meet you. Was the audition process, when you think back about it, I'm suspecting you don't have an older brother that also auditioned, but was it similar to how Jeremy described it?
Yeah, I had to send in a CD. I thought, you know, after school, going to school for 7 years for music, I was like, you know, I should probably do something with it. And so I started out my job search with the Army Field Band, and I thought, you know, it wouldn't hurt to just send a CD, because there's, you know, you just record at home if you want and then send in a CD. And I got selected, and then that's when the big nerves set in, and I had to go do the MEPS process, which is, you know, long. You have to meet a recruiter. You have to go meet the requirements. You have to take a test, an aptitude test. And then I did the audition, which is, as you go on and on, it gets more and more nerve-wracking.
Are the auditions blind? Are you behind the screen?
The first live round is when you get there, when there's about 6 to 10 people. And then they'll pick who they want to move on. And then it's usually around 3 people. And then they take the screen down, you play some more, there's an interview round, there's usually group playing.
Wow, that's what a process. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And before you put the mic down, Sergio, what is the next selection that you'll play?
Well, we're going to be doing the Pavane for a Dead Princess. It's by Maurice Ravel. And we're going to do about half of the piece today. It's also a piece that was originally written for piano and scored for orchestra. And today I actually arranged it for this ensemble. And on actually September 11th, we dedicated this piece to those lost to terrorism and what happened on 9/11. So that's what this piece is.
Great. Well, thank you. And Here, you can just place that right down. I'll get it from you. Again, we have members here of the Army Field Band, American Reed Collage. American Reed Collage, and again, sounding so beautifully. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. It's an interesting program today because when you are done, we have an 11-year-old pianist that is a Pittsburgh Concert Society honoree. She'll be playing, and then she's from Ross Township. And then we have some Perry High School kids who are going to talk about their thoughts about qualities and attributes of a president of the United States. And they have some thoughts about that, general thoughts, not about any particular candidates, but qualities that they feel a president should have. And then we have another Pittsburgh Concert Society honoree today, coincidentally, tenor Colin Akins from Central Catholic High School will perform. So a nice couple of hours. That'll be the next hour, our final hour today. We have a 7-member folk ensemble called Smokestack Lightning performing. And I'm going to turn my attention back to Sarah to tell us what you'll be playing next.
Well, next we're going to be playing three short pieces from Debussy's suite, The Children's Corner. Jeremy knows more about this piece, but originally it was written for piano, and we're going to be playing The Serenade of the Doll, The Little Shepherd, and Gollywog's Cakewalk. Would you like to tell a little bit more?
Certainly. Claude Debussy wrote this work in 1908 because he was a father at the time, but he was in his 50s. He had just become a father. So he was a very old father for the first time. He was absolutely captivated by his daughter, Claude Emma Debussy. And so he wrote these movements to represent her perspective on the world. And hopefully, through our music, we can capture what he was going for.
I can't wait to hear this, in part because I've always liked Gollywog Cakewalk, but I don't know the other movements as well, and I'm curious if I'm going to recognize them for a reason that I'll share with you after you play it. Once again, here is American Reed Collage. Thank you. So much fun, and I can tell you really have fun as you're playing it too. Who was that especially arranged by one of you to play?
That was actually arranged by Rafe Heckema, who is a saxophonist in the Califax Reed Quintet. They kind of pioneered this setting, and they have a bunch of CDs and a ton of arrangements. Like we said before, this is an atypical instrumentation. So Jeremy has done quite a few of our arrangements, Sergio has done some, and that one, like I said, was Rafe Heckema.
Thank you. That was Staff Sergeant David Parks, who, along with Sergeant First Class Jennifer Everhart and Staff Sergeants Jeremy Klenke, Sergio Acosta, and Sarah Schramborg, comprise American Reed Collage. They have one more selection, I think, that they'll do. Now, I told you before you played that I was curious about it. I tend to not remember things on purpose, actually, because I figure you can always look them up. But I'd forgotten the Children's Quarter was a work by Debussy. And the Children's Quarter was the name of the television program that preceded Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it was here in Pittsburgh. And Fred Rogers was a very accomplished musician. In fact, he regarded himself as a musician first. I don't know if he took the name The Children's Corner for that early program from that work or not. I did quickly look, and he did compose the theme song that was used for the program, so I don't think he used that music in it. I have to believe the name had to connect with him in one way or another. You know, we're very proud of him since he's a Pittsburgher. So.
I actually grew up right down the street from him, because I didn't mention that I am from Pittsburgh. Yes, I was Mr. Rogers' neighbor.
Yes.
Yeah. I was very lucky.
Well, and how long were you born in Pittsburgh?
I was actually born in Boston. We moved here when I was 4. I went to school here until I was 14 and then moved back to Boston at the start of high school.
Yeah, that would have been like in the mid-90s, mm-hmm, right?
95, yeah. So I have a lot of happy memories.
Did you ever see Fred or run into him?
Like, yeah, on the street sometimes.
Yeah, you would see Mr. Rogers just walking through the streets of Oakland.
In the neighborhood.
Well, I want to thank all of you. This will be our last chance to talk. I want to thank all of you for being here, as well as to thank you for your service. I hope that doesn't sound trite, but it's true. You're all soldiers is the right term, right, for the Army? Forgive me. But, I mean, it's easy to forget that because of your accomplished musicianship, but you've all made a significant, if not the most significant, commitment somebody can make to our country. So thank you for that and for also being ambassadors of great music. Anything else that you would like to say, anybody, but I want to be sure if I neglected to ask something that you can, sort of pass it along.
Well, just to everyone listening, if you, we travel around the country 3 times a year, we do 3 tours a year, and you can find our schedule on our website, armyfieldband.com, and chances are we're coming to a place near you, and we would love to see you in the audience. And you can find a lot of videos that we've done, educational videos and performances on there. And so there's a lot of free resources on there for kids and anybody.
Yeah, and by the way, they're in dress blues. Is that the right term? I'm getting all my military term. Dress uniform.
This is our distinctive uniform.
They're in their distinctive uniforms. I put a picture up on our Facebook page so you can see. I suspect they dress that way when they're in concert as well. Yes. If they do it for radio, they would do it when people could see them, right? But honestly, as a child or even as an adult, it's kind of cool to see a band that looks so sharp as well as sounds so good.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. It's been such an honor to be here. Such a pleasure.
Thanks. And what are you going to play to close?
We're
going to
play 2 movements from Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev, again arranged by Jeremy Klenke. The first one is Friar Lawrence, and the second will be Masks. And we hope you enjoy.
Once again, members of the Army Field Band as a quintet known as American Reed Collage. Thank you. Members of the United States Army Field Band, American Reed Collage, and they, Sarah, can I put you to work one more time? Because I was going to look it up, but it occurred to me you might know. I was talking to your mom, Ivy, and your daughter, Lucy, and I have reached the blowing kisses stage, I'll have you know. It didn't take long. Your mom mentioned that you are heading in the direction of Ohio tonight. And do you know where? I don't want to put you on the spot, but we have listeners.
Tonight we're playing in New Wilmington, which I think is Pennsylvania, but right on the border.
We get a lot of calls and emails from New Wilmington. If you don't know it, I'll look it up. But do you know the specific venue?
I do not. Do you, any of you guys? Yeah, it's right on the Army Field Band schedule, armyfieldband.com schedules.
Okay, so if you go to armyfieldband.com and if you click right at the top, it says schedule. Isn't this fun as I navigate a website?
And then Concert Band Soldiers Chorus up at the top left.
There it is, Concert Band Soldiers Chorus. This is how you can do it. And then it's in really small print. But that's just because of the way I am right now. And they're at Westminster College tonight at 7:30 in New Wilmington. So a lot of our listeners on WSAJ, Grove City, might want to hear you tonight, Westminster College, 7:30. I think the concert is probably free, but do you need to get tickets?
It's free. All of our concerts are free, and It depends on the seating, but we can...
Actually, there is not a ticket.
Yeah, check on the website.
But you can check the website, and then you'll be heading off to Buffalo. So this is the best chance to hear them in our neck of the woods. If you go to armyfieldband.com and click on schedule, you'll find out. But I suspect there'll be some people that heard you today from New Wilmington.
We hope to see you tonight.